Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Well, good afternoon, bloggers. This is Rob Christensen with another episode of Visible Secrets, Invisible Power, and Climate Engineering, and how it connects to the Bible. And again, to explain briefly, climate engineering is something that is given as a conspiracy theory. It's not really happening. It's something yet to be tried. However, we all need to look up in the sky and think for ourselves critically. What is really going on? Why do clouds form? Why do the skies get all cobwebbed some days, perfectly clear other days? Is that the normal route of our jets? And if not, what are those jets doing up there? Are they military? Are they contractor? And on it goes. And just so the visible secret up there is what's going on. Let's figure it out. And there's mountains of evidence, indeed, that for decades, the weather on Earth has been manipulated on a global scale. We're not talking cloud seedings to help a farm get some rain. We're talking regions. And a most devastating technology ever invented on this planet overall and its impact. And also the secrets, what we see in the sky, they're powered invisibly by radio frequency microwaves that can move moisture as wished. So we can poison the air, land, and water, which has been done with this technology, so careless, as if it doesn't matter. And we can also make war. In fact, weather is the greatest source of warfare on the planet, because it's the whole planet, and we have countries collaborating with each other to mask and hide the severity of the collapse of the biosphere. So this is a very deep subject. It's a very spiritual subject, because we are in a spiritual battle for salvation. As we've treated this earth savagely, it is now time to see if we can even salvage the earth. So I don't want to be a fearmonger, but if you hear an angry tone in my voice, why not? I mean, in my watch, I've had a wonderful life blessed with lakes of Minnesota and the loons, the land of lakes and loons, and now more and more the global loons. And yet I still live in a pretty nice situation, because in the eastern portion of the U.S., we are the least warm portion on the planet. thanks to our power from the military-industrial complex that continues to do whatever desperate measure it takes to hide the reality of a dying planet, for that matter. So this is extremely serious stuff, but the bright side of it is that as humans, mistakes as have been made throughout history, we do find ways to perform miracles. We do have people that are awake, and others will awaken. And just as Jesus had a small flock of people when he was spreading the word of God, well, it grew in leaps and bounds after his death. So we're now at this point where, let's call it Armageddon, from the biblical point of view, in my humble opinion, or indigenous point of view, as Prophecy Rock indicates, that we're on a zigzag path toward an end. Are we all going to get together and wake up and choose to go back down that path and cross down to the lower path, which is the life path that continues on and on into the future? Or, as we are right now at the precipice, where are we just going to end up burning up this entire planet through greed, carelessness, evil, diabolical, whatever the word is? Anyways, in my last blog, I talked about Christian anarchism, and I'm continuing that discussion today in a more general sense of the word anarchism. Again, my inspiration to start this radio blog has been from the book Ishmael by Daniel Quinn, where he wonders, humanity lived before the time of the Bible, let's say 6,000 years ago, where science supposedly, let's call us humanoid apes, whatever the case, there came a point of awareness and tool-making abilities that inevitably are going to get ahead of us. So I thought to myself, you know, when metal was invented, and that's some of the archaeological research that Daniel Quinn did, that, you know, the Chalcolithic or copper invention, where we could make hard metal out of copper. You know, maybe that's where the sword and the plowshare begin, with the ability to break the soil and reap a harvest and expand agriculture, though agriculture existed among the, you know, the tribes of the times that were spotty throughout the earth. There came a point where perhaps the use of this tool, metal, could be changed to a weapon where we could become hyper-predatory. In other words, one tribe could kill off another out of greed and lust for to grow their own population and expand, and for that matter, explode the population as we are today, close to 9 billion. So at some point in time, according to Daniel Quinn, we break creation's laws of limited competition. In other words, does Earth belong to us? Do we have dominion over it? Or do we belong to Earth, subject to creation's natural laws? So as a former biologist, that's interesting to me, because I realize that, as Daniel Quinn says, a diversity of species is a web of life, a thriving planet. It took billions of years, call it make-believe, thousands of years, whatever unit of time what you want to use. There was a time when this planet was far more diverse, far more thriving, far more teeming with life. And now, as human-caused extinction, in my opinion, is happening, and we have movements like Extinction Rebellion, we still don't have the acknowledgement by a critical mass of people that this technology of climate engineering has done more to destroy the planet than perhaps any technology short of nuclear cataclysm. The book, again, Ishmael, is all about captivity. And, you know, the Holy Grail, according to the book, is, well, if we can just distribute wealth equitably within our capitalist system or within our, you know, system of using tools and harvesting wealth from, you know, the life support systems, the greater good, so to speak. And in doing that, unfortunately, we've over-harvested. So it's the point I'm getting at, I guess, is we must tear down the system, Quinn, is that somehow this capitalist system, forever growth on a limited finite resources, sucking up oil everywhere, and on, you know, the fossil fuel fiesta, living off the dead, thus dooming, you know, our future, because we're borrowing and borrowing from the greater good, which can only supply so long. So I get at a loss for words sometimes, but I'll continue. I want to introduce the topic for today, or the precept. And let me just start with this. Again, I could include Christian anarchism in today's precept. However, in a general sense, whenever, wherever a materialist point of view holds sway, spirituality gets behind. Whether philosopher, ruler Marcus Aurelius, scientist, connector Dane Wigington, Buddha, or Jesus Christ, their wisdom was timeless. Truth equals wisdom equals spirituality. So let me share these words of Dane Wigington of Choctaw origin, of Native American. How many of us will stop to ask ourselves why we are here? What's the point? What's the purpose? Are we to pursue our own personal pleasures at any cost, at the cost of our own children's lives and futures? Indeed, at the cost of the entire web of life on this once thriving planet? Or are we here for a greater purpose, to learn, to grow, to mature, to fully open our eyes to truth, and then to act to the dictates of morality and reason? Are we here to do our part for the whole, standing against the collective insanity? Are we not responsible to struggle against the fading of the light? Stand and make your voices heard while you can, and consider this. If we all stand together, we can yet make a profound difference, even at this late hour. We can yet make a quantum leap in the right direction. Never give up. So I've taken those words with me to heart. It's hard to live up to them, but I believe them so true, so profoundly true. And this man, in my opinion, is the spark that's getting, you know, the spiritual fires going, to the raging fires that people, I think, are feeling now, to do something, to act, to salvage this poor planet and to take care of it, and the spiritual water to throw on the fires that physically exist today. And I'll just go off to the side a little bit. I was planning on this later, but in the last episode of Global Alert News, which was on Saturday, you know, Dane was talking about Siberia. The fires have started in Siberia much earlier than last year. And last year was unprecedented. In all of human history, no matter how long you want to put it, the temperature, the fires are unprecedented. We are in a new climate, and we will never go back to what we were physically. So we're going to have to take some dramatic, radical steps. And therein lies the discussion of anarchism, that, again, if money is the rule, and to grow wealth, for example, the wealth heist of Jeff Bezos, $23 billion in 3 weeks, you know, the extreme disparities between the wealthy and those enslaved by, you know, our system as wage earners, such as myself, it's disturbing. The other part I missed last time, but this is interesting about Dane. Again, I consider him a sage, not just a saint. He, the spark that's the main drive behind, you know, whether we continue existing as a planet or We could even go into fire and brimstone and become Venus too. Those are, again, unthinkable words, but yet I see some reality in that, given that Siberia with its fires and the 60 degree above normal temperatures, we didn't feel it here in Minnesota, where I live, but 60 degrees above normal in Siberia. That is why 2019 was the hottest year on record. So that's deeply disturbing news that I wish I could just go to sleep sometimes and not face it. But, you know, we can face the gathering storm. We will. There are spot fires of awareness out there, and they are growing. So the story that I left out about Dane is when the land he belonged been own the owner of, the steward of, I should, steward of this land, well taken care of and sustainable, and he's fixing the forest for all he's worth. It came to the sound of a last bullfrog, I believe it was a bullfrog, where it was croaking, struggling just to stay alive. And Dane, it left him in tears because there used to be many, many frogs. Now there's no sounds in the forest, his cathedral. The smell is gone. The sounds are gone. And he hears this poor suffering frog doing everything it can to hold on to life. And how he admired the perseverance that an animal could, you know, still struggle out there. So, again, beyond love for just humanity, the common good, you know, Dane had a love from his birth onwards. Whatever it was, as this enlightened man knew, he was outraged. So there's love and rage, and that is my precept for today. Because with the rage, that's the spiritual fire that's enabled Dane to do miraculous work 12 hours a day for the last 15 years. And he's gone against, it's been an upward struggle, needless to say. And he's risked his life in countless ways. You know, he's standing his post. He's discovered this evil climate engineering, and he won't stop until people know that it's real, that it's not just some kind of conspiracy theory. And I was going to go into the CIA document of misinformation, but I'll save that for later. Hopefully I'll get to it. I meant to do that in my last blog, but the CIA has an official document about disinformation to fool the public. The public has become a liability to the rulers. And in their desperation, you know, it seems to be at a point where it's time to cull, whether it's through vaccinations, whether it's through a nuclear winter. They know long ago that for their short-term greed or whatever, things were going to go downhill. So they're ever more desperate in what they do. They do so cleverly. And I'll just read on a little bit about Dane's last Global Alert news, because it's so profound. Every week it gets deeper. You know, he's saying uncharted territory we're in. There's more virulent, strange engineered just waiting to be thrown at us. And they've, you know, had biolabs for decades developing engineered strains. So we can call it offense, that we need to develop weapons. Or we can also call it defense. Oh, by the way, if some outside force develops a germ, we better know how to defend against it. But in the end, it's all offense. It's germ warfare. It's bio-warfare. So, you know, you can't have it both ways. If all these labs were shut down, we'd be much better off, and that would be the right direction to go. So we're in for great challenges. And by the way, Mr. Trump is sending military to distribute vaccinations. That's in his plans. forced vaccinations are coming down the road, it seems. In fact, here's a quote from President Trump's Alan Dershowitz, his lawyer, who worked for Jeffrey Epstein and O.J. Simpson at one time. And this is really eerie. And it's in the first 10 minutes of Global Alert News, geoengineeringwatch.org. Please take a listen. My voice does not do justice to the eerie coldness of Mr. Dershowitz. He says, "You know that it's a constitutional right to endanger the public and spread the disease," or it's, how should I say this? I miswrote. "You have no constitutional right to endanger the public and spread the disease, even if you disagree. You have no right not to be vaccinated. You have no right not to wear a mask, no right to open up your business. And if you refuse to be vaccinated, the state has the power to literally take you to a doctor's office and plunge a needle into your arm if vaccination is designed to prevent the spreading of, you know, this pandemic and et cetera, et cetera." He goes on. But those are chilling words, because anyone that studies intensely, first of all, the pharmaceutical industrial complex is immune to death from vaccine. Aren't they supposed to be protecting our immune system? No, they're not. Vaccines historically have introduced toxins in the body to create an antibody reaction or whatever. But nevertheless, toxins are toxins, whether they be aluminum, mercury. And the smaller the particle size, the more it gets into the bloodstream, the more it gets into our tissues like our heart or our brain. So beware of vaccinations. Please, listeners, if you get a chance to this blog, do study up on the pros and cons of vaccines. Another thing, quote of Dane's, is from my hometown Sox Center. Sinclair Lewis, the Nobel Prize winner who wrote the book Main Street, that's my claim to fame. I was born in Main Street, USA. This small quote is so profound. And Sinclair Lewis said, "When fascism comes to America, it will be wrapped in the flag and carrying a cross." So, you know, Dane asks, have criminally insane and morally bankrupt people always been present in human societies and civilizations? So here he takes 2,000 years ago, Cicero. Here's another quote. I cannot resist. I was not planning to share all these quotes, but please take a listen. "A nation can survive its fools and even be ambitious, but it can't survive treason from within. Enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known, and he carries his banners openly. But the traitor moves among those within the gates freely. His sly whispers rustling through all the galleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims. He wears their face and their garments. And he appeals to the baseness that lies deep inside the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly to undermine the pillars of a city, infect the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to be feared." So, again, you know, the 2,000-year history, it's really disturbing. So why don't I take a break here with all this bad news? I'm going to go into very thick bad news with the protocols of the Elders of Zion, which I've talked about in the past, but which has a very deep history, and it's a discredited document, of course, because they want to hide the truth of it, the protocols of the Elders of Zion, which is the Jewish Zionist movement, and I'll explain. But let's take a break here, and I just want to share a poem because, you know, when we find ways to meditate and pray and relax, we can get things done, we can be confident, and we can take courage. And I remember as a truck driver how my first poem went something like this. You know, Joel Osteen, the telepreacher, opens with a joke. Well, I'm not much for jokes, but here's my trucker's poem. So let's be calm and breathe in, breathe out. Nightly I drive as a means to survive. At the helm of a big truck I travel. Between darkness and wonder, spirits revive. I gather some thoughts as they flow and unravel, like sifting for gold through sand and gravel. Mind you, I'm safely alert, no drowsiness tugging at my shirt. The full moon beams with lights that kindle as traffic streams begin to dwindle. My mind, it seems, just like a spindle, spinning words to weave in pattern under the light of my spirit's lantern. Rounding curves, gently leaning, unwinding road ahead, revealing beneath my watchful eye that I must fly. Through fog and clear, my truck I steer in evening's quilt up to the hilt of dawn's jubilation. All through the night, till day is bright, I marvel at creation. So I tell you, I've said that prayer countless times. The poem became my prayer. And just as we need structure, daily routine, church, you know, to pray and follow our heart and God's will, this has become one of my coping ways to, you know, feel strength within and, you know, not be so stressed. So it's always been a release. And there are times when I can't recite a poem like that where I'm just bothered or whatever. But it's always there, and I can always grab it. So I'm sure this same effect, physical, spiritual, hum and drift of driving, for example, is also an experience like wind sailing. That way, there's no need to survive by borrowing from the dead, burning hydrocarbons as a trucker and jeopardizing the future. But again, we're all kind of stuck in this driving, overwhelmed economy, and it's hard to help. We have to survive. We have to eat. So we're kind of in a catch-22. Yes, there is a human resonance that matches our own mammalian biorhythms and the biorhythms of the entire web of life. The human resonance is the earth vibration, that it's a measurable thing. And by measuring it, for example, if ionospheric heaters, that type of technology, or 5G technology, it's going to change the earth's natural vibrational frequency. And by doing that, of course, it's destroying the planet, you know, over such a long period. This earth formed, and evolution, whatever you want to call it, or, you know, God's expression through objects, through life, through the earth. And I get pretty deep sometimes. So, yes, there is a resonance out there. And now, given a state of calmness, how do you structure this exercise of being into your daily rhythm? And, you know, wealth is not the discipline of what's in your wallet, rather what's in your soul. That is what wealth is. And to thine own self be true, that takes a lot of discipline. Why? Because one must have the courage to discover and live out what they know to be true, even if the truth is very or extremely painful. And I'm going to give you an example of careless mistake of mine, personal friend of mine for almost 55 years. I grew up with, went to Bible school with, speak of painful realities, for example, 9/11. I get a wall, and that's natural in many ways because I myself looked away from 9/11 conspiracy theory, and it's too painful to look into. I don't want to bother. It's happened. It's over. There's nothing I can do about it. So in meeting my friend every now and then, once a year minimum, we have a great time together, but I brought up things that, you know, he's had a stiff wall to. I marched in with a joking video about the paranoia of wearing masks, and it was like a security guard, and he's shaking, quaking that this germ could be anywhere, and he's going crazy. And I didn't realize, because I was kind of rushed, I was doing chores, that I started talking about Dr. Fauci and how I see he's one of the evil leaders behind what's this pandemic, that indeed with the $7.4 million that he authorized to collaborate our American labs with Wuhan to develop a coronavirus chimera and also predict in 2017. So as I started sharing that with Brian, it was too late. This video, he'd actually seen, but my personal friend blew up at me. So yes, these are very painful. And that's where I read from a previous saying that I've shared on the blogs with Osho, who wrote the book, The Mustard Seed, and it's about the Gnostic Gospel. He explains in the 12th saying of the Gnostic Gospel of Thomas, we can live quite a while without food, but without lies, we survive only for a few seconds. This we can justify putting off chores. We don't have time. We feel compressed and stressed because, as Osho says, we'd rather be comfortable creating lies just as we tailor clothes that comfortably fit us. The truth is an uphill climb, whereas lies, that's a downhill slide. That's easy. We can't tailor the truth. It doesn't necessarily fit us. But we also suffer in the long run if we turn our backs to it. This saying is obscure and mystical. And, you know, it was the saying of Christ to his disciples, Peter, Matthew, and Thomas. However, you know, in my humble opinion, a most telling and foreboding saying, which is deep in the prophetic times of today, that which our beloved Prince of Minnesota knew to be true. I've seen the interview of TV where he said, this is Prince, the artist musician of Minnesota, something to the effect that he was not interested in politics because we are in prophetic times. He also spoke out against the reality of chemtrails, a word misused and misperceived as conspiracy. The reality of jet sprayed aerosol dispersions or solar radiation management for the cover-up of hiding the reality of climate collapse is the wording Prince would have used had he known of the misinformation intent of the word chemtrails. So I'm going to go back to a poem I first wrote when I discovered climate engineering, 15 pages. It was my way to deal with the grief of the thought that, you know, things are collapsing much quicker than I could have believed. I thought, well, in my lifetime, you know, I'll be okay. I'll live and die. And, you know, 150 years from now, I'm sure it's going to be worse, but they'll just invent technology to deal with it. That's a pretty typical way for people to think. But anyways, here's part of my poem that gets back to that CIA document. Manufactured heat or cold, toxic chemicals are sold. A parasol for their calms, aerosol poison like bombs. Hidden in their calms like bombs is an anagram that's grim. Becomes chemtrails, kill beams, more simply clouds that dim. Let me just explain anagram. So if you take the word their calms, you can decipher it and scramble it, and it can become chemtrails. The same letters work. Like bombs, you can change into kill beams because you have the same letters. So it's an anagram where you can, one word becomes another word using the same letters. So becomes chemtrails, kill beams, more simply, clouds that dim. And again, clouds that dim, the dimming. Just think of it. If we spray all these toxins and dust and whatever it is in this mix by the millions of tons annually, how much more cloud cover do we have? What good is it to block the sun when the sun is what gives the chlorophyll, the plants, the ability to grow? You know, that's just the beginning of how it tears us, the hydrologic system, shreds the ozone, and so forth. Going on with the poem. Chemtrail is a weaponized word used by the cabal, dismissed as conspiracy for the birds, used to confuse us all. The patented words should now be heard. Stratospheric aerosol injections. Well, there is a CIA document, 1035-960. And get this. This is the reference to my poem, because I wrote references to all verses of the poem, or most of them. This document contains disinformation programs, such as starting probably with the Kennedy assassination. William Casey, CIA director, 1981, said this: "We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false. For example, contrails no longer linger in sky for any significant length, regardless of conditions, due to high bypass turbofan technology in almost all high-flying aircraft. Yet aerosol injections do linger. These injections are not ejected from jet engines, but through nozzles attached very close to the jet engines. Chemical tanks within craft supply the dispersant." So, again, you know, how many people realize, and can we expect people to realize, that when they see cobweb sky jets up high, that these are dangerous nanoparticle chemicals that can get in our bloodstream and over time cause all kinds of maladies, including Alzheimer's and autism. The same things, those same maladies, again, within vaccinations. There's just, again, increased vaccinations meant increased autism by exponential increase in our youth. How evil is that? So I'm getting on here. Let me take a little breather. If there's any response out there, I'd welcome at this time. I will get back and see where I'm at. And just wanted to be reminded in case I'm running past anything. I'm getting to the point where I want to share some of what I saw on the internet. And this was encouraging. There was a fired policeman, and this video went viral because this man, who was a former Army Ranger in the Iraq War and a policeman in Seattle, sorry I don't have his name, but he just spoke from the heart for like 6 minutes, and he's warning. He says, "Look, I've been in Iraq, and I know what happens when society collapses. It is awful, and I'm warning. I see this happening in the United States very soon. We have to wake up to that." And when he had this YouTube video, it was immediately popular. It went viral, and his cohorts supported him. His immediate supervisors supported this video. Well, guess what? Within 3 days, he was fired. So when the higher power structure, the elite, whoever, when you cross with the so-called empire, you risk. But here's a patriot who has a heart, who has the courage to speak his mind, to speak what the truth. You know, he's earned through this great risk of his own life what, and seen the reality of the evil of the war in Iraq, where, you know, false weapons of mass destruction, again, false flags enabling the war, along with 9/11. So just thought I'd mention that let's be encouraged. There are brave people out there waking up. I also wanted to talk about something that is difficult to read, yet intriguing, and it's about the symbol of the serpent and the protocols of the elders of Zion. So I say to this, brace yourselves, because this document, though I talked about it, and it was very helpful in the original just overview, I was informed of various New Testament passages that go directly against what the protocols are all about. Diabolical, evil scheme planned over the centuries is what the protocols of the elders of Zion is. So set aside the Jewish faith, where I see heroes like Paul Wellstone acting on the truth and being a great leader, then you have a mixture of from the Masonic movement, where this Jewish plot penetrated the Christian movements. So just as in Luke 16, people of the light have not, as Jesus predicted, would have to awaken at some point to the shrewdness of those who worship mammon, the worship of money. So the mess that we have to disentangle from, it's very revealing if you look at the protocols, just how profound and how real they are. It was Henry Ford that said, I know that the media and all the discussion that the protocols of elders are just dismissed as a hoax. Same thing as, climate engineering. Why are they so dismissed when, in fact, as Henry Ford said, what I've read, and I've read them through and through, is that everything they say is coming to fore. It's real today, as real could ever be. The plan that they're moving is coming about. And I'm just kind of speaking at the top of my head and going off my notes now, which I'll do for the rest of the time. But what I want to get at that really struck me is the symbol of the serpent. That is what the protocols say is their guiding symbol. And it reminds me, too, of the serpent in Genesis. And that's where, I have a bit of a problem. So I credit the website believers.org.au. If you type in the search, the protocols of the elders of Zion, you can find the whole script. And it was in the meeting of Basel in 1896, I believe, 1897, where the protocols were spelled out in a Gentile, so to speak, a spy, whatever you want to call it, at this meeting was able to get and print out the protocols and in detail. And maybe I can find some notes on it, but their plot was to, because of the Jewish diaspora, that became their blessing as a means, as a plot to overtake and form a one world government ruled by the Jewish or the Zionist, I should say. And what the idea is the symbol of the serpent is a snake, and that's the body. That's the Jewish people who are not part of the head of the snake. The head of the snake is those elite few that know the plan and that over time shrewdly have developed this plan to take over the media, to take over the financial system. And I could go on and on in depth, but their whole point is people, as a rule, are evil. And if the Gentiles, or as they say, the Goyim, which is another word for cattle, it's a derogatory word, Goyim. So for Christian nations, for example, to take over, since they're incapable of taking care of themselves, we need an evil movement to put them at war with each other, to exploit them, and to eventually enslave them. Well, you look at today, isn't that happening? I mean, people are wearing masks, people are 5 feet apart, we're in lockdown. So yes, indeed, this battle between good and evil, this battle for salvation, this Armageddon, or as Prophecy Rock says, zigzag ending, we have to awaken. And I can't emphasize that enough. As I look through the internet, I share things. And Alex Jones in band video, I've never given him much credit. I think, as many people say, he's kind of a crazy man. But I accidentally looked at band video webpage, and I couldn't help. There was something about Melinda Gates. And I spoke extensively about how Gates has a eugenist policy that he has articulated. He is on tape hinting and actually saying that we can use vaccines to reduce the population. It sounds, you can hear something and not grasp it. But when you look at the reality of 496,000 children paralyzed from his vaccines that were purposely, the dosage was multiplied by 10, then this is real. So, interestingly enough, Alex Jones himself did not notice this interview with, what's her name? It was on the Today Show, I believe. And I can't think of her name in the blink. But, it's a famous mainstream media woman that interviews a lot of people. And Melinda Gates was dressed with a pink dress, totally pink, and talking about how the 50 states are disjointed and we need a more unified plan for the pandemic. So she speaks as an authority. Well, if you look at her bracelet, not her bracelet, but her necklace, she's wearing an upside down cross with a corona, a red corona of rubies. And symbolically, that is satanic worship. That's just unmistakable. They could say, oh, no, that's, since supposedly the Gateses are Catholic, that's a symbol of an upside-down cross that Peter died on or something to that effect. But that's we can get into conspiracy and hoax. But to me, signs do show in arrogance. The opposing force of evil loves to hint and show, their sign. And, my coworker, he gets into the occult, so to speak, as I have sometimes in the nighttime radio, coast to coast or whatever. And it's disturbing to me because, one gets easily lost in conspiracy. It's so easy to do where things like 9/11 come out, and my coworker is all understanding. 9/11 was a collapse of towers. that it was planned. And as most many people to this day will not believe that. But anyways, you know, this understanding of the truth goes so far. But at the same time, it's Donald Trump, as I've mentioned, is the hero for this movement that, you know, you get halfway, three quarters into the truth. But the best divider in chief, what they can do is they can pull you in with something like 9/11. Oh, we're going to investigate it. Or they can pull you in with Robert Kennedy Jr. Oh, we're going to work with Robert Kennedy Jr. to investigate safety of vaccines. Again, I'm not totally condemning vaccines. All I'm saying is that you need 100% certainty if they're going to harm your body or they're safe. And really, vitamin C, exercise, our body is far more complicated. It shouldn't be complicated by injected toxins and pathogens. But anyways, you know, as much as can be said, the signs are out there. And one I can't help notice is with the encircling snake. Plan is over the years. Let me see if I can find that, because that's something I need notes for. Okay, here we go. It started in Greece in 429 with Pericles. That was the first snake strike. And then Rome and Augustus rule, 69 BC. Spain, Madrid, 1552 AD with Charles V. Paris, 1790, the Revolution of Paris. In the protocols, the Jews take total credit for creating the revolution in France. That's written. It's just unmistakable. In their penetration into England, Benjamin Disraeli became the Jewish prime minister, you know, many years ago, centuries ago, but his name was Israel, and that is the name of their ultimate target with the snake encircling Europe. So I'm continuing on that path. There's like eight stops. So Paris, 1790, London, 1814, Berlin, 1871, in the French-Prussian War, St. Peter's, 1881, in the head of the snake, and now America with the Council of Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. But Constantinople is the last stage of the snake before Jerusalem, so that the complete encirclement of the snake. So, you know, if I seen a sign with Melinda Gates, how could I not help seeing an Amazon truck with that arrow? And it looks very much snake-like, and it's separated where the point of the arrow, the head, is separate from the body. So, you know, the secret society that Kennedy spoke out against, the secrets that are held, that Cicero spoke out against, you know, the diabolical planning and long-term will to stick to this plan is it's hard to fathom. But nevertheless, I think it's very important that to be aware of the protocols of the Elders of Zion and how deeply that goes. So as time's running out here, a final word about to beware of false premises which lead away from the road less traveled, the road to truth. Can we take the quantum leap? I had attached a photo of the cobweb sky and to search the dimming, because the dimming is the documentary that I hope and pray with all my heart, soul, every fiber of my body, I hope that somehow gets out. Mr. Wigington, his first director, died of a heart attack, very suspicious. His sending in the mail of the film, parts, you know, portions of the film were stolen or taken away, never returned. And of course, he had copies. So he had to find another director, and he's doing everything he can. this very powerful documentary. You know, there's a 4-minute, you can look up The Dimming, Dane Wigington, and find it. But in my photo, if I were to make a banner, it would go something like the photo I sent to Brother Joe and Sister Rhea. So you have the cobweb sky picture, and it says, we now have proof that aerosols have been measured in the sky. So this dimming, it's like The Shining, you know, the movie The Shining, the dimming. What do they mean by dimming? It means the dimming of our minds. If we are breathing in aluminum nanoparticles and pathogens or whatever with every breath we take, sometimes a lot, sometimes a little. But over time, it debilitates us, and we can't think as clearly. Dozens of peer-reviewed studies now show the aluminum that collects in our tissue and accumulates, like in our brain and in our heart. So, you know, it's, what else is the dimming? There's less sun coming down. So we get these cool downs right now in Minnesota. That's why we have a lot of clouds, because you can't create an artificial cool down without a lot of moisture. You have to have moisture that you can guide through a region and then spray it with chemicals that cool down dramatically, like an air conditioner, which are toxic low-level cool downs. So the long-term effect, of course, with any air conditioner is you're adding heat. But so, you know, there's just many ways, the dimming. So I put something to the effect, the dimming, culling, killing, are you willing? And then I say search. In other words, spreading the spot fires of awareness. You know, like Dane said, I wrote my own little poem that a backfire halts the forest blaze. A spiritual fire halts those who raise. Firefighters will amaze. That means you and I, just regular people, or like that courageous policeman who spoke from his heart and made a viral internet sensation, even though he, you know, he got fired 3 days later. Again, you know, I'll continue my poem where I left off, but a backfire halts a forest blaze, a spiritual fire halts those who raise. Pour on the spiritual water for the future, our sons and daughters. So, you know, there's rage and love. You know, we love this greater good that we've been blessed with. We've been able to consume of it and live high off the hog. Most of us in the United States, many of us treated unfairly in a racist, you know, the twin parties of racism, poverty, and war. I guess that's a way you could put capitalism in a negative sense. But even erasing, you know, you could call me a socialist or a communist, but let's erase all the ideologies and just look at the broad horizon. You know, as Dane said, when Siberia is 60 degrees above normal, we're in for real trouble. And, you know, the rage that he had has enabled him to do miracles. And, for example, he went from Death Valley, started on a bicycle, 106-degree temperature, and he went to the lowest point in the lower 48 to the highest point in the lower 48, top of the mountain, from bike and foot. And he was dying of pain with some source, but his rage drove him on. He has a responsibility, as I said at the beginning, that are we just going to our own myopic personal lives to satisfy our immediate pleasures? Or are we going to look ahead and grow and mature and do all we can to give back to the greater good and ensure a future for our children? So with that, it's 4 o'clock and it's time to get to the bank, go to work, and so forth. But I'd be glad to entertain any. Oh, there was one more thing, and I'll just bring it up, and that is that BibleBelievers.org.au. There's a fundamental problem I have in that I believe, as Daniel Quinn did, that when the story of Eve tempted by the fruit, forbidden by the fruit, and then the man-like creature was turned into a snake, the serpent that tempted Eve. We see Eve as an individual person. We see Adam as the original man. And it makes for an origin story, just as Native American Hopis have their origin story about a father who went evil and the two brothers took over. And they spread throughout the earth. One brother with the white skin was to come back and help save the earth, and the younger brother was, they each had tablets that were hidden, and they would come back to reunite the tablets and the word. So the problem I have is power structures have existed, as Cicero stated clearly. And if Cain was a tribe with their metal, and they were able to be a hyper-predator, that instead of taking what they need from the land, they decided to take what they want without unabated, to the point of killing another tribe, going to war, not just a skirmish. People are people, but a whole different worldview that says, I want this, I will be fruitful and multiply, I will dominate. And you know, before the Bible and after the Bible, there's still indigenous tribal communities that have belonged to Earth. The Earth doesn't belong to them, that worldview. So if the Earth belongs to them, that statement about Eve, according to Daniel Quinn, Eve meant temptation for life, to just be unbridled, trample over other species to populate your own, to populate and copulate as much as you want. Unbridled competition. Limited competition is such that you take what you need, but you don't destroy the rest of the web of life in the process. So whereas the children of the first light, let's say in the East, where, you know, old civilizations and writings and tablets, Sanskrit, whatever, existed, there's a yin and yang, there's an equality, dark and light, receptive, creative. You know, and if women are receptive as they receive from the man, and they receive the light in their darkness of the womb, you know, are they not closer? Are they not more enlightened? Because they're more in touch with the web of life. That's what Osho says clearly. How is it then that women can be put down as so evil, the temptress? That to me is written by Cain. And if Cain was indeed the tribe that invented war and overrunning, then there's the danger of misunderstanding the origins, that an old oral story where of a conquered pastoral tribe by an agricultural revolutionary tribe. It started the virus that's overrunning this planet, is the invention of war, where you not only take other species, plants, animals, wolves, whatever in your way and kill them, but you kill your own species. So it's just something to consider. And sure enough, it was the serpent. So the same website that sees the evil serpent of the elders, of the protocols of the elders of Zion, it's how can they not identify the snake as something, you know, as not a twist in the Genesis story? I guess that's my end of discussion, to leave you with that question. So as Christ said in Luke 16, you know, there's no room to wealth to measure mammon or to be beholden and worship mammon. You either worship mammon or you worship God, and God knows what's in your heart. And you have to look into your heart and within your heart. And that's the so-called heaven within. It's truth, and it's hard to face sometimes. It doesn't fit your clothes. You have to climb to it. It's hard work, but it's the will of God. So with that, I'll thank you for listening, and all the best.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.